Well, it's good to see you here. Glad you're here this morning to worship with us and to give ourselves to the hearing, receiving of God's word. Proverbs 22:6 is our key verse. Train up a child in the way he should go, even when he is old, he will not depart from it. A more literal translation would be, train up a child according to his individual bent. And when he reaches the age of maturity, he will not depart from that training. I would say that it's obvious that most parents would love to have well-disciplined children, productive, living good life. But not so many are willing to do what it takes to achieve that. They're hoping, I guess, that it'll just somehow happen. It'll turn out good. Now, we've been considering the fact that the child's life is bent or predetermined in a twofold way. In a general way, by the sin nature of Adam. We are sons of Adam. And it manifests itself in many, many ways. We have put that under the theological teaching of the depravity of man. Holy, that's W-H-O-L-L-Y, or totally defiled. And all the faculties and parts of the soul and body, utterly indisposed, disabled, made opposite to all good, wholly inclined to evil. Let me summarize that for you with these words. It's easier to do wrong than to do that which is right. It's just a simple way of stating. Now, Charles' course of his life is also individually determined by God giving to that child what we're going to call certain gifts or talents. Psalm 139, we've looked at it. I hope you have. The psalmist says in his prayer to God, thou didst form my inward parts, thou didst weave me in my mother's womb. Aren't you amazed? I would assume that there are times when you look at a group of kids, look at a group of young people, group of adults, and think how amazing everyone is, its own distinct individual. I like the Spanish expression, cada cabeza un mundo, and it is literal translation of those who may not speak Spanish here. Every head its own world. And you look at this young man, this young lady, this adult, this small child. Every one of them in some way a unique individual. And sometimes I even think I could have been that person. God could have made me after that pattern. Like them, similar. Now, how are we going to discover these bents, these inclinations, these gifts, these abilities? First of all, pray. 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 Call out to God and say, "Oh God, help me to know my child and to discover those things that are there, that you put there for your purpose and your will and your plan. Make them somehow known to me. Give me an awareness." That is a prayer that ought to be on the lips of every parent. Then coupled with that praying, careful, close observation. Careful, close observation. We get so quickly caught up in our own little world, don't we? Preoccupied and busy, busy about this and that. What's going on? Child is over here, there, somewhere else. Who knows where? Doing what? Well, that's part of life and it's going to happen. But still, have in the back of your mind, carefully observing what your child is inclined to in terms of gifts and talents, and encourage them. I can't draw, well, I can, but I have difficulty drawing a straight line with a ruler and a pencil. Some people can draw anything. And when you see that child doodling around and becoming something more than a doodle, and you begin to think, maybe my child is gifted in the area of art. And when that child draws a little something for you, take notice of it and say, "Hey, that's nice. I like that. Good job." And pin it up where it can be seen. You're observing. You're paying attention. You're stimulating a gift. Now there's something else I've touched on and I have mentioned. I hope I can expand it a bit today. I'm going to try to state it simply, clearly. We have already emphasized it previously, but it is so basic and so foundational. And it is this: children are entrusted to your care by God. We've stated it differently, different terms. That helps you clarify it in your mind. But God entrusts to you as a person, as a parent, as a dad, as a mom, the care of that child. And that means infinitely much more than a clean diaper and a bottle stuck in their mouth. Means loving care and concern and time and being there. Let's think about birth. Observing just the physical aspect of birth, apart from divine revelation, it would seem that the birth of children is just going to happen. It's inevitable. Really? It would also seem that since the birth of children happens at inappropriate times, places, and opportune conditions, that the birth of children is merely the planting of a seed and the growing of a plant. And it crosses our minds at times that children are born to unwed mothers. And with our human outlook, it is difficult for us to understand the wisdom of that. We recognize that children are born into homes and under conditions that are less than suitable. And with our finite minds, it's hard to understand that. So it's easy to just sort of jump to the conclusion the birth of children is entirely, solely due to a biological process that begins and ends with a certain fashion. But, if we consider the Word of God, we're going to have to recognize that God rules and overrules in the birth of every child. Dear ones, we must keep in mind that although some of these births seem unwise to us, we cannot see as God sees. And therefore, the way we view things is not necessarily from God's viewpoint. That says a lot. But think about it. I've used other illustrations, frequently using the illustration of a 1,000-piece puzzle. And you begin, and you have 3 pieces that fit together. Now, you tell me what that puzzle is all about by looking at those 3 pieces. Ridiculous. You have no idea. No one would have any idea. And here we are running around looking at 3 pieces of the puzzle about this or that or something else, and trying to figure out God and His wisdom and His eternal purposes and what's going on and what's going to be achieved a year from now, 10 years from now, 20 years from now. We need the bigger picture. Isaiah says in chapter 55:8 concerning God, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord, for the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. Period. Who's in control? God. Who is God? He's our creator. He's holy. He's wise. He does all things well. Let's consider some of God's word today concerning God's sovereignty in the birth of children. In Genesis, chapter 20, we have the story of King Ahimelech, who was king of Egypt. He took Abraham's wife into his own harem, and that displeased God. So we read, God told Abimelech that he would have to let Sarah go back to Abraham, or the curse which he had placed upon the wives of Abimelech would not be lifted. And I want you to turn to Genesis chapter 20 and look at verses 17 and 18. Genesis 20, verse 17. But Abraham prayed to God, and God healed Abimelech and his wife and his maids. And what resulted? What happened? They bore children. Now notice verse 18. For the Lord had closed fast all the wombs of the household of Ahimelech because of Sarah, Abraham's wife. What do we have here? We have a definite statement that God closed up the wombs of women in Egypt. Why? Because Abimelech displeased God. Got it? Got the picture? Now, dear ones, before we jump to conclusions, and that's something we need to guard against, we jump to the conclusion before we hear all of the sentence. Here's the key. When God closes the womb of a woman, it is not always due to punishment. It is not always punishment. It is not always because God is displeased. Sometimes it is due to no other reason than the condition of the physical body of the person involved. But the fact that we want to establish simply is this: God is able to shut or to open the womb. That puts him in control. Now turn with me to Genesis 29. Genesis 29, verse 31. Now the Lord saw that Leah was involved, and he opened her womb. But Rachel was barren. God opened the womb of Leah. He closed the womb of Rachel. Because he had compassion on Leah. Now notice Genesis 30. And verse 22. Genesis 30 and verse 22. Then God remembered Rachel, and God gave heed to her and opened her womb. There was a period of time when God closed the womb of Rachel. and nothing opened it. There was a superstitious practice of that day. It was the use of mandrakes. It didn't work. Useless. Dear ones, we are simply emphasizing the fact that there are various and different reasons why God chooses to open or to close a womb. Now, the important truth is this: God is sovereign. God is sovereign in the matter of the birth of children. Does that grip a person's mind, heart, and soul as that little one is there? And you're looking at it. And you're thinking. What are you thinking? Well, one thing you ought to be thinking is this. This is a sacred trust from God. I'm responsible for its care, its training. What a big responsibility. Well, why would we emphasize the sovereignty of God in the birth of children? If God permits children to be born into the world, it's not the mere result of a biological process. It is rather in accordance to the eternal plan and purpose of God. And that puts it all in a whole different context. Children are so important to God that when He entrusts us as human beings with children, He could confer upon us no greater honor. For they are the most important thing, even in all the realm of God's creation. Turn with me to Psalm 127, verse 3. Psalm 127, verse 3. Behold, children are a gift from the Lord. The fruit of the womb is a reward. Do you not see that that literally infuses life in such a way that it becomes uniquely purposeful? You can have no greater weapon against evil. You can have no greater instrument for good than the child that is properly and biblically trained. And the psalmist says, how blessed is the man whose quiver is full of them. Let me state it a different way. You cannot have a greater instrument for God than a child that is properly trained. But by the same token, there is no greater instrument for evil than a child that is not properly trained. In recent days, in the headlines, graphically is demonstrate that. If we understand correctly and receive the clear teaching of the Word of God, then children will never be viewed as a burden. Never be viewed as something that has interfered with my lifestyle. Never a burden on the budget. Well, they won't be looked upon as a hindrance to our social pleasures. We will look upon them as suggested by the Word of God, with an awesome fear and responsibility that we have as parents. Then we will look upon them as the source of the greatest pleasure that life can afford. Our Lord put much emphasis on children. Turn with me to Matthew 18:3. Matthew 18:3, our Lord said, "And verily I say to you, except you be converted and become as little children." Little children. "You shall not enter the kingdom of heaven." Look at verse 5. "And whoso shall receive each little child in my name receives me." Let me give you just a little illustration. Suppose you have a special message somehow from heaven that the Lord Jesus Christ was going to visit your home. Think of all of the things you would do because Christ is coming to your home. Yet many times when God sends a child into the home, He sends someone as important as a visit from the Lord Jesus Christ. And so many people look upon it as being a burden, almost wishing they had never been born. Now I want to close with this emphasis. It's a very solemn thought. Those children whom God has sent into our home, if they are caused to stumble, according to the words of our Lord Himself, it would be better for a millstone to be hung about your neck and that you would be drowned in the sea. It's pretty plain. Pretty plain. How many children are caused to stumble because of those unregarded words and ways which were made in their presence? How many children have been caused to stumble because no one cared enough to discipline them? And to tell them that no means no. And to prove to them that no means no. Not maybe, Not sometimes, no. Well, what a big job. What a glorious privilege. To train children in the way they should go. Let's pray. Our Father, take these words and use them to accomplish your will and plan and purpose, and cause us not to just terminate these sermons upon the fact of children, but upon the divine nature of God that is revealed to us in all that we have been studying. What a gracious and wonderful and wise God we have. We pray in Christ's name. Amen.